One of the most sobering thoughts that man can ever ponder is the inevitability of his own physical death. For many, this thought only seems to occur when a friend or family member dies. Then, for a while, people are shocked into the reality that such will one day happen even to them. Yes, dear listener, like billions of others, death will one day overtake you too. Psalms 89:48 states, "What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave?" It will happen, and when and how it will happen is unknown in most cases. Anyone who has taken a slow walk through a graveyard, read the obituary columns in a newspaper, or been on the scene after a serious car accident knows that there is no guarantee that we will live another day, much less another year. Many who hope to one day get married, buy their dream house, or even retire after decades of hard work, died suddenly before it occurred. More often than not, they left behind heartbroken family members who will someday face the same thing themselves. But one day in the distant future, this enemy called death will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26 and Revelation 21:4. But for now, it continues to gain victory over mankind, with victims raging from all age groups. Scripture declares we have but one breath in our nostrils. We can be crushed more readily than a moth. Isaiah 2:22 states, "Stop trusting in man, who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? If God places no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth?" Job 4:19. Furthermore, if one reaches midlife, he starts to see and feel the effects of aging, which is just another word for slowly dying. Sooner or later, even the healthiest people who exercised and ate the most nutritious foods age, grow weaker, and die like all others. There is no stopping death in this age. Moreover, our material possessions, which we once valued, will be left behind when our spirits depart from our bodies and we leave the land of the living. See Job 28:13, Psalm 27:13, Psalm 52:5, Psalm 116:9, and Psalm 142:5. And we will enter eternity to go to our final abode. Psalms 39:5-7 states, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth, the span of my years as nothing before you." Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. All temporal earthly pursuits, achievements, and ambitions will have no meaning or value when death finally overtakes us. The only factor that will count then is heart purity, for this will be the deciding factor as to where we will spend our eternity, either in a paradise environment of love, peace, comfort, and righteousness, or a place of pain and regret in fire with the damned forever. See Luke 16:19-31. Again, Scripture is explicit about us dying. In Hebrews 9:27-28, we read, "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." And in 1 Peter 1:24 and 1 Peter 2:1, we read, "For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and slander of every kind." In Psalm 103:15-18, we read, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flowers of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Psalms 103, verses 15 through 18. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, we read, "Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope." This truth about death will hit even the rich, who have been spared much of life's pain and anxiety, as they have lived in great comfort and luxury. Scriptures declare that they too will go the way of all the earth. James 1:10-11 states, "But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat, and withers a plant. Its blossom falls, its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade, even while he goes about his business." The Bible refers to physical death as the way of all the earth. The universality of it is clearly expressed in those words. Notice how both Joshua and David knew they were going to die before it occurred. Joshua 23:14 states, "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises that the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." 1 Kings 2:2 states, "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. So be strong. Show yourself a man. Elsewhere in Scripture, we are further enlightened about life's brevity with the following. Psalms 144:4 states, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow." James 4:14 states, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes." Psalm 102:11 states, "My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Psalm 95:6 states, "You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." Job 7:7 states, "Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath." Psalm 78:39 says, "He remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breeze that does not return." Job 14:1 says, "Man, born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble." Notice that more than just man's life is temporary. Ponder the following. 1 John 2:17. "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." The Lord himself taught it takes more than just professing Jesus as Lord to be a Christian. Matthew 7:21 states, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 12:49-50 state, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Dear listener, did you notice the condition just cited to enter the kingdom of God? Are you doing the will of God? This is the issue, not if you believe in God or if you go to church, but are you doing the will of God? Consider also what Jesus stated, Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Luke 8:21. He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Sin has a contaminating, defiling, soiling effect on the human heart. Furthermore, sin can lead to spiritual death in the life of a Christian. There's only one remedy for this spiritual pollutant, and that is the precious cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. If you are not following Jesus at this moment, then you desperately need to become a Christian. If you were once a Christian and have since died spiritually because of sin, then you desperately need to repent and get saved again. Salvation is as important as eternity is long. Mark 8, 36 and 37 tells us, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" The answers to those questions is clearly implied. Your most valuable possession is your eternal soul. Don't take a chance with it. Too much is at stake. Jesus is the only Savior. Let him save you now while you still can. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 tells us, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither foreigners, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Jesus is your only hope of salvation. Furthermore, you must turn away from your sins. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Luke 13:3 states, "But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Proverbs 28:13 tells us, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." You need to prove your repentance and demonstrate that your faith is not dead. Acts 26:20 states, "I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." James 2:14 and 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can faith save him? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Once death strikes, it will be too late to repent and place your faith in Jesus. So please, do it now while you still can." Proverbs 27:1 states, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Remember, there is only two types of people, the saved and the lost. Notice how they are further described in the following scriptures. In Romans 2:7 through 11, we read, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth, and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism." In Acts 24:15 and 16, we read, "I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." In Galatians 6, 7, and 9, we read, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will from that nature reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up." John 3:18 tells us, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." John 5:29 states, "Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." 1 John 3:10 states, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Did you notice from that list of scriptures that the churchgoer is not identified as the child of God, who will rise and live and not be condemned? There are many false teachers in our day who have deceived people about various things. For you to learn the whole truth, please read through the entire New Testament for yourself and put it into practice. Hide God's word in your heart so that you do not sin against Him. Do it now while you still can. Shut off the television and stop reading the newspapers and the magazines. It is that important. There is much, much more you need to know, because every scripture is important. Remember this, it is now in this short life that you are affecting the rest of your endless eternity of conscious existence beyond the grave. It is time to get serious with God and to serve Him daily until death, as never before. One day your life will be over, but until then, live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 and Hebrews 3:14 tells us, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. God bless you.